You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The U.S. Senate is taking up net neutrality today. A bill that would protect net neutrality rules from repeal by the FCC passed a procedural hurdle earlier this afternoon. These Obama-era rules prevented internet service providers, Verizon and Comcast, for example, from speeding up or slowing down traffic from certain websites and apps. Barring changes made by Congress and signed by the president, the FCC's repeal of the rules goes into effect June 11th. I spoke with Michigan's senior senator, Debbie Stabenow, about this earlier today. Senator, this afternoon you and your colleagues will take a final vote on this measure. You only need 50 votes, which you say you already have, and then it goes to the House, where passage is far less certain, no?
Now, that's the big question. I'm hoping, because so many people have weighed in sharing their concerns about, you know, this repeal of net neutrality, I'm hopeful that they will weigh in the House as well, because the House will have to vote on this, although the Speaker could choose just not to take it up. So we need to push to have a vote and push to have a vote to overturn what will be in a very expensive and, I think, very unfortunate turn of events in our economy if, in fact, service providers are allowed to charge more for different levels of internet service.
Senator, do you see your way to any bipartisan fix? I know Senator John Thune has said he wants a bipartisan bill that he said would permanently ban blocking and throttling and this type of thing. Is that something you and other Democrats could work with?
Certainly. I mean, Senator Thune and I work on a lot of different issues. If he wants to put forward something that would fix this, that would be terrific. Now, they haven't done it yet. I think the first step to permanently fixing it, frankly, is to vote to stop this rule that repeals net neutrality from taking effect. Let's stop that. And then we can go ahead and put in place some permanent rules. But the internet, you know, is not some new sort of frill anymore. This is an integral part of our economy, the way we communicate, the way business is done. And we need to make sure that everybody has equal access to it.
I'd like to turn to China, specifically that tweet from President Trump this past Sunday, and I will quote it here. President Xi of China and I are working together to give massive Chinese phone company ZTE a way to get back into business fast. Too many jobs in China lost. What'd you think when that news came out?
Well, I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. Here we are trying to deal with the fact, first of all, that China is cheating all the time, stealing our intellectual property and doing things that are not in the interest of American jobs. We've lost 5 million manufacturing jobs simply because of the fact that they cheat when they value their currency. And so when we're looking at the fact that just a few weeks ago, the Commerce Department took action, which was the right thing, because this company violated U.S. sanctions against Iran and North Korea. They lied to the United States Commerce Department, and they were selling in violation of U.S. sanctions. So this is a national security issue for us with Iran as well as North Korea. And so our Commerce Department took action, as they should, strong enforcement action. And then the President of the United States suddenly reverses that because he's worried about Chinese jobs. I mean, it was stunning. And the other thing that is deeply, deeply concerning is, and I'm sure you've read, is that this news came just a few days after there was a business deal with a developer for a theme park in Indonesia that involved the Trump family business and involved Chinese government giving loans in $500 million from Chinese banks to this business enterprise that the Trump family is a part of.
Does that violate the emoluments clause, in your view?
Personally, I don't see how it doesn't. I mean, we've never had this before, first of all, where we've never gotten tax returns or we don't know the business relationships and how far they go with the current president. But then on top of that, even something that looked like it might violate, whether it technically did or not, it's just not something we've ever seen a president, Democrat or Republican, do. I mean, it's just the appearance of a situation where you're personally benefiting by American foreign policy or by changing things is in my opinion, it's wrong. It's just simply wrong.
And pivoting over to the Trump administration's proposed tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum, I spoke yesterday with the CEO of an auto supplier, says she is angry and scared at what these tariffs may do to her Michigan-based company. What do you say to these people? What can you and Congress do for them?
Well, I spoke with Mary as well from Lucerne International, and we have to be very careful and strategic on how we take enforcement actions. And I've certainly been one that wants us to be tough against China, but we have to be very strategic and understand the implications of what's being done. And so, you know, at this point, the way this is being done in terms of the potential tariffs is of great concern to me. And a lot of our suppliers in Michigan are impacted, the folks making component parts and so on. And so they need to take another look at how they do this and the impact on American jobs. And so, you know, rather than the president tweeting that he's, you know, worried about Chinese jobs being lost, I wish he would focus on American jobs. That's what he said he was going to do when he was elected. And if he focuses on that, count me in. But I can't believe that he's suddenly concerned now about Chinese jobs, but not taking action and listening to people like Mary who are so deeply concerned about their business.
And also, let's talk public health. We've learned now that aides to EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt tried to block publication of a federal health study on chemical contaminants, including PFAS. And there are a number of communities in Michigan, particularly West Michigan, the Thumb, and their groundwater has been contaminated by these PFAS, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. And we hear that the publication was blocked after an aide to President Trump said it would cause a public relations nightmare. That study would have declared that these chemicals are a danger to human health at a far lower level than the EPA has said it was safe. So what is going on with this report?
Well, this goes back to the whole question of the role of government in terms of accurate information, protecting people's health. Overall, we can't protect our water or our air by ourselves. This is something we do together. That's why we have various rules and so on that we can count on to be able to have confidence. We can drink the water and breathe the air and so on. And this area of PFAS is one that I've been involved in now for a number of months since this was brought to my attention, not only in West Michigan, where there have been private sector issues from tanning facilities and concerns about well contamination, but this particular kind of chemical has been used for years on our military facilities. And so what I've been focused on is getting some dollars for cleanup into the Department of Defense budget, which we've been able to do. It's just a start. It's certainly not enough to be able to address all the community needs, but being able to get this study, the health effects of these chemicals called PFAS, needs to be released. The study needs to be released. We need to understand the health effects so that families can take actions, communities can take actions, and the federal government has to take responsibility for the military sites and so on in terms of cleanup.
Can we rely on the EPA to help and protect us?
I'm very concerned about the current EPA and the current EPA administrator. That's why I didn't vote for him in the very beginning to be in that spot. This is somebody who seems very intent at rolling back safety rules at every turn. So it's deeply concerning to me. And we certainly saw with the president's budget last year, trying to eliminate all the money to protect the Great Lakes, I was able to put together a bipartisan coalition to be able to save every penny of that, which was great. We had a great coalition, but now they're back again trying to cut 90% of the money we need to protect our water. So it's just one thing after another, and it's very concerning to me.
Senator, we know your Republican colleagues met with President Trump yesterday, closed-door meeting, and now we're hearing not one of them pressed him about any of these matters, trade tariffs, ZTE, his aide's comment about Senator McCain. Do you ever ask your Republican colleagues why they don't push back when they are face-to-face with the president?
You know, it's very concerning to me, and frankly, it's not explainable. I mean, I work with Republican colleagues across the aisle every day and have very good friendships. And it's disappointing, very disappointing to me to see what's happening. And I think all of us need to be working together to get things done, and that we've got to look beyond our own partisanship, and we have to look at what's best for the country.
Michigan Senior Senator Debbie Stabenow, as always, Senator, pleasure to talk with you, and thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you.